أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
صف سيدي فرمائیے الله اكبر سبحانك الله اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله اهدنا الصراط ثم رددنا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الذي يوسوس في صدور الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. لا إله إلا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة ربنا هب لنا يا حي يا اصلح لنا شأننا. اللهم حبب سهل يا إلهي. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. صدق الله العظيم. وقال الشاعر وأحسن منك لم تر قط عيني وأجمل منك لم تلد النساء خلقت مبرأ من كل عيب كأنك قد خلقت كما تشاء. وقال ومثلك لا تلد الأمهات ولو عاش كل فتى ألف عام. وقال الشيخ عبد الرحمن الجامي رحمه الله في اللغة الفارسية حسن يوسف دمي إيسا يدي بيضا داري آنش خوبا هما دارند توتنها داري صلى الله عليه وسلم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon my master Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once again reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam upon us that we have the honor of listening to and understanding the teachings of the Holy Quran. Once again, we divert and we focus our attention to the early stages of Islam and we look at the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam had 7 children. His 3 sons were Qasim, Abdullah, and Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And his 4 daughters were Hazrat Fatima, Hazrat Umm Kulthum, Hazrat Zainab, and Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anhun. From these blessed children, Hazrat Qasim, Hazrat Abdullah, and Hazrat Ibrahim all passed away in infancy. And Hazrat Zainab, Hazrat Ruqayya, and Hazrat Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anhun all passed away during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away 6 months after the passing of my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. This information in itself, we can only begin to understand the pain and suffering that my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went through. You know, you can only ask somebody who has lost a child, who has buried their own child, how much pain they go through. Whereas 6 of the 7 children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away during his life. Once again, we remind ourselves of the hadith, أَشَدُّ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ, that the biggest and the greatest trials and tribulations come upon the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. And this is a reflection of their closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their status. So, moving on, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah is because either Hazrat Qasim or Hazrat Abdullah had passed away. And there are two narrations. One narration states the name of Hazrat Qasim. One narration states the name of Hazrat Abdullah. And on this occasion, one disbeliever came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or they started to say about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he is abtar. Na'udhu billah. And who was this disbeliever? Again, there are multiple narrations. The most authentic narration is that this disbeliever was As bin Wa'il. Other narrations state individuals such as Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl and Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id and individuals as such. Ka'b bin Ashraf has also been mentioned. He said to the Kufari Quraysh, Kufari Makkah, he said to them, don't worry about Muhammad, he is abtar, na'udhu billah. Now, what is abtar? Abtar literally translates into someone or something that is cut off. And in Arabian tradition, a person who didn't have any male progeny, male children, or a person whose male children had passed away, this person was known as abtar, as a derogatory term. And so these people started to say about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he is abtar, na'udhu billah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the surah to combat this and to explain that no, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not abtar. And then the ulama go on to explain how this surah reflects that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Verily, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have given you al-kawthar. Now, al-kawthar here has two meanings, there's two opinions amongst the ulama about the meaning of al-kawthar. However, both opinions can be complied with and they can both be correct. And they are both correct. The first opinion is al-kawthar yani al-khayru kull. All the goodness, in the world, all the goodness that is in existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have given you this, all the goodness. And then the ulama expand on this and say these are the things that are included in this are prophethood, wisdom, the Quran, all the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salah, Islam in itself was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The sunnah, his generosity, his beauty, his strength, all the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are included in Al-Kawthar. And this is what prompted me to recite a few couplets at the beginning, where, according to one narration, it was Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala an who said, وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَ قَتُّ عَيْنِي. And someone more amazing or nice or beautiful than you, my eye has never seen. And in some narrations, لَمْ تَرَ قَتُّ عَيْنٌ, which means no eye has ever seen. وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ. And someone more beautiful than you, no woman has ever given birth to. He was the most beautiful person in existence. From the beginning of time till the end of time, there was nobody more beautiful than my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that the women of Zulaykha saw Hazrat Yusuf ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they were so astounded by his beauty that they cut their fingers. Our mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, says that if they had seen my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they would have cut their hearts, they would have even realized. And many, many narrations testify to the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One sahabi says that I came out, it was Laylatul Badr, meaning it was the 14th, it was the night of the 14th moon, the full moon, the biggest moon. And that moon, when you look out and, you know, there's a clear sky, and you look at this moon, it looks so beautiful. You can just look at it for a while and take in its beauty. So one sahabi says that I came out, and he said that it was a 14th, it was a full night of the full moon. And he said, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I looked at the moon, and he said, I looked at my Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. He said, I repeated this two or three times. He said, Wallahi, my Nabi, the face, the beloved and blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more beautiful and radiant than the full moon. One day, Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in the dark, she is at home in the dark, in the room, and she drops a needle. And it's dark, and she can't see anything. She's, you know, putting her hand on the floor, trying to find this needle. So she couldn't find it. Until my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam entered the room, she said that from the light shining from his face, I was able to find the needle. And like that, there are many testimonies of the beauty and the strength and the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The couplet that I recited in Farsi, I can't read, I don't understand the language, but this one couplet was one poem that my ustad, the Sheikh Mulla Ibrahim Badat Sahib, Damat Barakatuh, may Allah give him a long life with his sihat and afiyat. He tends to be quite ill these days. He's from Bolton. And he taught me in Darul Uloom. Very, very amazing teacher. He would often recite these couplets. Husni Yusuf, Dami Isa, Yadeh Bayda Dari, Anch Khuba Hama Daran, Tutan Hadari. Which means that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Yusuf alayhi salam beauty. And he says that the breath of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam would bring the dead back to life. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam had his hand that would illuminate. He said, oh my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, you were a compilation of all of these miracles. If they were to exist in one person, it would be you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have given you Al-Kawthar. The first opinion is that all the goodness in the world includes Al-Kawthar. The second opinion is this is talking about the famous Al-Hawdhul Kawthar, Al-Nahrul Kawthar, the water. So what is the haqiqah and what is the reality of this? To summarize, in Jannatul Firdaus, in Jannah, there is a river. And this river is called Al-Kawthar, Nahrul Kawthar, the river of Kawthar. And from this river, there are two drains that come down. This description is found in the hadith. And from this drain, the water gathers into a hawd. Now, a nahr is a river, is a flowing water, and a hawd is standing water. So when you have an area of water, picture like a swimming pool or a lake. That's, you know, hawd actually what it is, you know, in the Arab countries or the maybe the Eastern Asian countries, many in the hot, warmer countries, you can see in the masjid, outside the masjid, they have like a big, like a swimming pool. It's not a swimming pool, but it looks like a swimming pool. And the purpose of this is that people come to the masjid and they use this to do wudu. So this is what they call a hawd. So these two drains, they come down and they form a hawd of water. And this standing water, this hawd, is present on the day of Qiyamah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be there, and he will give water out to the ummatis. And some people will even have the honor of assisting along with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and giving people this water. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to also drink from this blessed water. So this hawd belongs to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, the Urdu poet says, you know, there's a famous story, Qadam hai Bilalaj. So it's in that there's agar waha nahutu hawd pe milunga. Like, if we don't meet you here, then we'll meet you at the hawd. Inshallah, we all have the opportunity to be granted the opportunity to look at the blessed, beautiful face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at al-hawd al-kawthar. Ameen. So, the second opinion is that this water is being referred to in Inna A'tayna Kal-Kawthar. The compilation is very easy to understand. The first opinion is all the goodness. So Al-Hawd Al-Kawthar is also goodness. So this can also be included into all of the gifts that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed with. Now that in the ahadith we find description of this water of Hawd. There are many, many descriptions. Some I've written down, I'll go through. The bowels in this water of Hawd, they are equal to the number of the stars. Like normal water, when you break the surface, it ripples. The surface breaks and ripples are formed. In Hawd al-Kawthar, when the water, you dip your hand in to take the water out, the surface doesn't break and ripples are not formed. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam described it that on the banks of this river in Jannah, there will be pearls that will be hollow inside. We'll be given the opportunity to sit inside these pearls and watch the river go by. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us this opportunity. Ameen. The water of this Hawd al-Kawthar and Nahr al-Kawthar smells like musk, strong smelling musk. It is whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. In this lake of Al-Kawthar, there will be slaughter-worthy birds that we will be able to slaughter and eat, whose meat will taste amazing. The river of Kawthar will exist in the middle of Jannah. And the, you know, what do you call it, the banks of the river and the river bed will be made from pearls, diamonds and gold and silver. Other descriptions include the fact that it is whiter than snow and the water is also cooler than snow, colder than snow. When a person drinks from this water, he will never be afflicted with thirst ever again. Especially in the day of Qiyamah, when it is described in hadith that this, it will be like the sun will be above our heads and we will be so thirsty when we will have the opportunity to drink from this water, then our thirst will be quenched. May Allah give us this opportunity. Moving on to the surah, the ulama make us understand that one of the fundamentals of Islam and one of the main teachings and commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to love everything to do with Islam. To love everything to do with Islam and everything to do with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a very, very important part of Islam. And so the highest levels of this love go on to extend beyond just the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and extend to every item and everything connected with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, he says about our beloved and great Ustad Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawla Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullah, that in the later years of his life he spent in Medina Munawwara, he would often go and sit by Rawza-e Aqdas, and he would sit there and he would do ibadah, and at times he would put his finger into the, what do you call it, the fence, you know, the golden gate, I don't know how to describe it, and you know there would be dust gathering over there, so he would put his finger in and he would gather this dust, and he would apply it to his eyes and his face. So this is the dust that is on the jali of the Rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So personalities like Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahimahullah not only loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they loved everything to do with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, Medina Munawwara. And this is what these are the demands of love. True love means that a person respects and loves everything to do with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith Shaykh Mawla Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullah, he explains this. You know, that there's an old Arabian legend, there's a story, Wallahu alam how true exactly is. Many of these stories can be taken from different stories and compiled into what become legend in the end. But there's a famous legend of Layla and Majnun. That Layla, Majnun was a person who had fallen in love with a woman called Layla. And he'd become fallen so much in love that people call him Majnun. Majnun means, you know, Majnun means like mental. He's not well in the head. So he would so often say, and this couplet, it really describes the demands of love and the kind of love we should have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The kind of love that we should have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, أمروا على الديار ديار ليلى أقبل ذا الجدار وذا الجدار وما حب الديار شغفنا قلبي ولكن حب من سكن الديار. He says that Majnun says that أمروا على الديار ديار ليلى. He says I walk past the walls and the walls of ليلى أقبل ذا الجدار وذا الجدار. He says I kiss this wall and I kiss that wall. وَمَا حُبُّ الدِّيَارِ شَغَفْنَا قَلْبِي. It's not the love of the walls that has encompassed my heart. وَلَكِنْ حُبُّ مَنْ سَكَنَ الدِّيَارَ. He says it's the love of that being who dwells in these walls. So his love for Layla had extended so much that his love had extended to the walls and everything to do with Layla. So just like this, our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should extend so much that every single thing and every single being that is connected directly or indirectly with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should have love for them. And at the same time, one of the very important things of teachings of Islam is to love those who love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to also hate those who hate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should not have love for the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When we hear about the atrocities that are inflicted upon my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it should make our hearts fill with anger and it should make our hearts filled with hate, just like, and to make us understand this in easier, if somebody was to do something bad to our mother, swear at her, would we just love this person? Would we be friends with this person? No. We'd become enemies of this person. He swore at my mom. He swore at my dad. He did something to my sister or my brother. You know, we would have this kind of reaction and he would make us feel anger and hate towards this person. So just like that, the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they hated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we should hate them too. This surah also teaches us this. The surah gives us, so the first verse, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, verily, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have given you al-kawthar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is giving us a reason to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the final verse, so I'll just finish with the translation and explain this part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ, so pray for your Lord and sacrifice animals. إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرْ, verily your enemies, they are abtar. So, first of all, Allah is answering the enemies of Islam. They called my Nabi alayhi salam abtar. Allah is saying, no, he's not abtar, you're abtar. And we'll explain why he's abtar. But just for the sake of this point I'm making here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, he gives us a reason to hate the enemies of Islam. Why should we hate them? Because they are abtar. Yeah, that's why. So, the first verse gives us a reason to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second verse, and this, what I'm going to mention now, I mentioned it also in Surah An-Nasr. Many times in the Quran, we find that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a blessing that he has given, immediately afterwards, he commands the ummah to do shukr for this blessing. So for example, in Surah An-Nasr, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, and you see people entering in groups into Islam. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, so praise your Lord, do tasbih, and ask for forgiveness. So here Allah is saying, be thankful for the blessing that you have been given by doing tasbih and doing hamd and thana. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have given you kawthar. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ, pray, so pray. Pray for your Lord, to your Lord, and do nahr, do sacrifice animals. Now, to expand on this, Al-Kawthar, we mentioned earlier, was all the blessings in the world that were given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the greatest blessing. So in order to rightfully do shukr for this great blessing, although it's not in our ability to be able to truly fulfill and truly understand the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and truly appreciate and be thankful for them, kama haqqahu, as it is Allah's right for us to do that. We can't do it because Allah's blessings are so much. And then when we start praising Allah for these blessings, the fact that we are praising Allah, this is also a blessing from Allah. So then how are we going to thank Allah for that? So it's not possible for us to bless, to thank Allah enough. But we try our best. And so it is appropriate that for the greatest blessing, we give the greatest thankfulness. And the greatest thankfulness is ibadah. And the greatest ibadah is salah. So Allah is saying, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ, and so pray salah. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ, there are two forms of worship mentioned here. Salah and sacrificing animals. Salah is a physical act of worship, and sacrificing animals is a physical act of worship, and it's a monetary act of worship as well, where we spend our hard-earned money on buying an animal, and then we sacrifice it in the name of Allah, for the sake of Allah, in charity. And so there are two types of worships mentioned here as well. And then we have Nahr. So just to expand a little bit on Nahr, there are a few opinions here what Nahr means. The most authentic opinion is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to sacrifice animals. And when sacrificing, there are two ways of sacrificing. There's nahr and there's dhabah. Dhabah basically is normally done to the small animals, where the animal is put down on the ground and, you know, we trap it, and then you apply a knife to its throat and then you cut the veins. And nahr is normally applied to the big animals, you know, like cows or camels. And normally what will happen is, for example, with camels, a long spear-like instrument is used that has a sharp end. And the camel's legs are tied up. And then what they do is, obviously, the throat is quite high up. So they use this long instrument to slash it, to slash the throat, and then all the blood comes out. So this is normally refers to nahr. So from the two, the bigger animal, obviously sacrificing a camel or a cow is a greater act of worship and it's a greater sacrifice than a small animal. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the greater one, but the meaning is inclusive of both. And even though the linguistic meaning is literally to do nahr, it will also include doing dhabah as well. So we will translate it as sacrifice animals. Other opinions with regards to nahr are that it's talking about فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْهَرْ is talking about the day of Eid. The day of Eid al-Adha, where we pray Eid Salah, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. Allah is saying that you pray your Eid Salah, وَنْهَرْ, and do, udhiyah, and we sacrifice animals on the day of Eid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this. This is narrated from Hadith ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an. Another opinion is, when in Salah, when you put your right hand, in Qiyam, you put your right hand upon the left hand, this is called Wanhar. So Allah is saying that pray namaz and fold your arms. The reason being is because the non-Muslims, the Jews, they used to, they don't fold their hands. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Khaliful Yahud, go against the Yahud and fold your hands like that. The third opinion is raise your hands up at the beginning of Salah. But like I said, the most authentic opinion is to actually sacrifice the animals. And the fourth opinion is that it's actually talking about sincerity of intention. That صلي لربك وانحر لربك. Do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And this is like this is an indication and a hidden message to the disbelievers. Why? Because they would also worship and they would also sacrifice animals. But they would sacrifice animals on the name of the idols. And they would worship on the name of the idols. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying that pray and sacrifice, but don't do it for the idols. Do it for Allah and do it for Allah alone. And the final opinion is that when you pray salah, then face the qibla and pray salah. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. And finally, we have the final verse, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. Verily, your enemies, they are abtar. Shani here literally translates into fault finders and slanderers. And so, but the translation has been done as enemies. The reason being is enemies, normally they will always slander you, say nasty things about you, and they will always keep finding faults in you. So the same way they thought that they had found a fault in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they started spreading this about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to this, Allah described them as shani, which basically also means, refers to enemies. So Allah is saying that verily your enemies, they are abtar. Huwal abtar, they are the abtar ones. And how are they the abtar ones? That because they are cut off from all the goodness. Says that the way that we remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the time that he passed away, all the way till today and then till Qiyamah as well. Look, when we're praying Salah, we pray Durood Sharif in Tashahud. Remember Rasulullah. Before Salah begins, Adhan time, Ashhadu Anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Every single day, every single Salah, we are remembering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Adhan, Allahumma Rabba Hadhihi Da'wati Tam, we're remembering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again. Namaz time comes, when we are praying our sunnahs, sunnah, we are doing it because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. In every single unit of prayer, we are praying the Durood Sharif, remembering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this, the list goes on and on. In the Quran, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned as well. Besides that, we are commanded to recite Durood Sharif. Especially on a Friday, we are commanded to recite Durood Sharif in abundance. And this is something that is taking place all over the world, every single day, and it will continue till Qiyamah. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comparing and saying that you calling my Nabi alayhi salam abtar? No. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will be remembered by the entire world. You know, the most common name in the world is Muhammad. They did a survey. It was the most common name in the world. And number one actually came Muhammad. And they didn't know what to do. So what they did was, you know, we have in English the spelling is, you have different spellings. M-O-E-D-M O A D M U. So what they did was they put the M O and the M U's and the A D's and E D's all separately, and then they bought the name. But actually, that was the most, you know, the most common name in the world. And so Rasulullah is being remembered every single day by the whole world. One researcher, he wrote a book very recently, a famous book, 500 most influential people in history, and number one was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was written not by a Muslim, by a non-Muslim. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is remembered every single day all over the world till the day of Qiyamah. And opposite to that, the non-Muslims, it says that, you know, even though they might have had lots of children and things like that, you know, there was no dhikr khair about them. There was no good, no one remembers them for any good reason. They are all forgotten. If they are remembered, they are remembered for a bad reason. For example, Abu Lahab, he's remembered in the Quran, but he's not remembered for any good reason. Ya Allah, he's remembered for being cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On top of moving on also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ulama explained that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam might not have had any surviving sons. But the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ahlul Bayt, the Sayyid family, they live on. They live on today. There are loads, many, many, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is spread all over the world. Actually, one research came by a few years ago that the Queen, Queen Elizabeth, was also had connection to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, I remember at the time, my Ustaz Sheikh Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib mentioned that, yeah, okay, it might be that she's related, but it basically means that somewhere along the line, someone came out of Islam. And the moment someone comes out of Islam, they're cut off from our family. They will not inherit from us, and they're not part of our family. They have come out of Islam. You get it? So we can't go around saying, oh, you know, some people who love royal family, royalists, They might say, oh, Queen Elizabeth Sayyid, no. Is kuch nahi hai is tarah. Yeah? This is not. This she's cut off because they came out. Somebody came out of Islam. Like that, but moving on, the family, the Sayyid family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is present today. They live on. They're a big family also. On top of that, the spiritual family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unparalleled. We are all spiritual children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says in the Holy Quran, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the greatest right, yeah, over the mu'mineen, greater than themselves. Yeah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has more right upon me than my own self. وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed wives, they are the mothers of the believers. So we are spiritual children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how many Muslims are there in the world? The numbers just keep going higher and higher and higher. 1.7 billion, 2 billion, and it will continue to get higher and higher. It's the fastest growing religion in the world. So the spiritual children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can't even count. And whatever 2 billion is just in this zamana. You can't even count those Muslims who have passed away, those who will come in the future. These are all the spiritual children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Allah is demonstrating to us how indeed Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is not abtar, and how definitely the disbelievers are abtar. And one last point to finish off, and it comes as a warning from the ulama who take this meaning, that the meaning here, inna shani akahu al-abtar, verily your enemies they are abtar, is a generic meaning. And so it does not limit itself to the disbelievers at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single person from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till Qiyamah, who hates Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who blasphemes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who says anything against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be included in this, and they will be abtar, they will be cut off from all goodness, and this will be taken out of their lives. You know, some people, they valiantly, or they say things against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people, they will be included into this. We have to make sure that even as Muslims, sometimes what can happen is we get into certain discussions, Islamic discussions, and we might go and start saying something that might accidentally be blasphemous. We have to be extremely careful when going into these discussions. We have to be really careful not to ever say anything by accident or on purpose against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, against the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, against the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi jama'in, against the Ahlul Bayt, anything. Sometimes, you know, we read about the wars of Jamal and Siffin, where unfortunately, two groups of Sahaba went and fought against each other. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was on one side, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was on the other side, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala was on one side. And sometimes, without knowing the finer details of such a thing, we start trying to pick sides. No. First of all, we should understand the finer details of these altercations, and we should never pick sides. We love Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, we love Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and we love Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And we should love every single Sahabi, every single Tabi'een, every single Tabi Tabi'een, the ulama, like that. And then some ulama have also written that this also continues, and it also includes the ulama. that just like we are commanded to not disrespect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, al-ulama'u warathatul anbiya. The ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya. So just like we are commanded to respect and love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, we have to respect his inheritors also. And this includes having love, reverence for the ulama, our imam sahab, any ulama that you have in the vicinity, we should have the respect for their knowledge that they have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the more we learn about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we fall in love madly and helplessly in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should make effort to take a book of seerah and read it. Read a little bit every single day. You'll find the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pouring into our hearts. And we should try and make this effort. You know, we claim to be lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's put this into action. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love and understanding of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the true understanding of the Holy Quran and his teachings, and the true love for the Holy Quran as well. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallama taslima kathiran kathira. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.